Good evening to all and a happy Yom Ha'atzmaut, everybody. Who will get extra credit on this one? How do the parshas of Tzatzriah and Metzorah relate to Yom Ha'atzmaut? If you are a very pro... Oh, there it is. Adam, he didn't even let me finish the sentence. He's a Baal Korei and he's a highly religious man, according to all authorities. But if you are looking for some like Tzioni Torah, this Shabbos, this is what you want to focus on. So Adam points out that the Negoyim of Tzaras only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Right, that's what you just quoted, right? Again, now you're quoting Mishnayos and Negoyim by heart also. Now, not only is Peter Weissman not human, you guys are good. You guys are good. All right, so let's learn a little bit of Torah, and we'll be Mechamed to Adam a little bit. Here, the Torah says in Vayikra, Parshas Tzatzriah, Perek Yud Gimel, Pasuk Mem Zayin. So there's a concept we know that if you speak Lashon Hara, or there are, by the way, there's seven actual Isurim listed in the Gemara and Erechin about what would lead one to get Tzaraas. But, you know, Lashon Hara is the most famous one. So let's assume one deserves the punishment known as Tzaraas, and it's on their clothing. Okay, so again, the Torah goes on to explain the details, but the Ramban, the Torah there, goes into detail. And says, by the way, it should be utterly obvious, we're not talking about a cause and effect, right? Obviously, this is not a medical condition. You know, if someone has like an allergic reaction, that can be explained al pi teva. That's not at all what tzaraas is. When your clothing, when your house is afflicted with tzaraas, that is a sign of a relationship with Hashem. It says, Aval b'yos Yisrael shleimim laHashem, yiruach Hashem aleihem tamid, la'amid gufam u'bigdem u'batem b'mar etov. I.e., when one is in a close relationship with Hashem, he will ensure that you are physically well and your homes, your clothing look okay. And therefore, if you sin, you know what's going to happen? Hashem will have to show you that he has removed himself from you. And that's why one deserves tzaraas laharos ki Hashem sar me'alav. So tzaraas is a spiritual statement that Hashem is giving a person to explain to them, you are no longer on the madrega for me to live with you. You guys were doing great to the degree that I lived with you, and now I have to remove myself from you. Wow. And this is where the Ramban now takes it to Eretz Yisrael. This could only apply in Israel. What's the kasha? The laws that only apply in Israel are always agricultural mitzvahs, sechovas, akarka, right? Truma, masa, shmita, etc. Aval, but this is not a mitzvah tuli baretz. When we talk about tzaraas, we're not talking about an agricultural mitzvah. So why does it only apply in Eretz Israel? Says the Ramban, aval mipnei shelo yavo ha'inyan ahu ela be'aretz hanivcheret. Asher Hashem hanichbar shochein besocha. Wow. Because tzaraas reflects this higher spiritual level, it could only exist in a land that is chosen for Hashem to dwell in. You can't have, you know, the Queen of England sleep over in your guest room. She's too holy for your guest room. She's going to be in some very expensive suite of some very expensive hotel if she has to stay in America, whatever it is. And in a similar vein, when we speak about the Ribono Shel Olam's presence, so it's not going everywhere. And tzaraas reflects a tremendous manifestation of Hashem's presence, and that cannot take place outside of Israel. Wow. So it's a very, very beautiful Ramban and very appropriate to fit with Yom Ha'atzmaut as we are now celebrating. And I saw an article from the Rav Orlian of KBY. The Rav Uri Orlian is a Rebbe that I know from YU, who's no longer in YU, now he's in the Five Towns. So I think he has a brother who's a Rebbe in KBY. So he has an article about this Ramban. I wanted to find the Ramban. And I saw he has an article. I just needed to find where the Ramban was. But in his article, he also quotes Achizkuni and some other Makoros. So here's what I wanted to do. We'll learn a very similar concept in the Achizkuni. And then we'll try to relate this to something that Rav Kook responded to and the Satmar Rebbe said. Ooh, ooh, ooh. So we'll really try to develop a nice Yom Ha'atzmaut shir over here. Okay, so what else does the Torah say? That when you go to the land of Israel, so that's when you're going to find saras on your homes. Kita vo el aretz. It's Parshas Metzora, double Parsha this week. Yedalet lamedalet. When you get to Israel, then you might notice saras on your homes. Says the Torah to me on the spot, quoting the Mishnah Neganim, as Adam quoted before. Eretz Achuz Aschem, right, that is what's quoted as Adam quoted Baal Peh before. Metame benegoyim ve'en chutz laretz metame benegoyim. Namely, the whole rule of saras, says the Mishnah, only applies to Eretz Yisrael. And that means, hypothetically, I guess, if your home were to have some form of affliction on it, we wouldn't even care, right? The whole parsha of saras, as we know, it only applies in Israel. And the question is why? So we just learned the beautiful Ramban, but the Chizkuni says the same thing. He says a technical answer originally that they didn't have homes in the desert, you know, so they didn't have houses, whatever. But then I only quoted the second answer because it is more related to what we're speaking about. He says slightly different than the Ramban. Not that in Eretz Yisrael it has like this innate holiness as much as because Israel is the land which will be the location of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore it needs to remain completely tahor, i.e. no tzaras allowed in Israel. Meaning, the Ramban said, tzaras is like a luxury that you earn because Hashem is communicating with you and you only earn that privilege in Israel. The Chizkuni is saying that Hashem needs to keep Israel pure, and therefore he's more concerned about keeping Israel tahor, and that's why we only merit it there. Fascinating, fascinating. All right, so when we speak about Israel being on like this exalted level, so we know that one of the most controversial points of Rav Kook was that he was open to the secular Zionists, secular Zionism. And nowadays, it's much, much less controversial. People understand that, you know, the different Jews with different roles. And what is less controversial now, again, still controversial, but what's less controversial now was beyond, like, almost, you know, it sounded heretical to the religious community. And there is a chapter in the book, the biography of Rav Kook, An Angel Among Men, where it actually deals with Rav Kook's approach, number one, to loving all Jews, and in the company of the pioneers. So it's a beautiful, beautiful, you know, those two chapters in general are so beautiful that explain Rav Kook's approach to these non-religious Jews who he felt were a crucial part of bringing the Geula. And there's a story we quoted actually last year, believe it or not, that where Rav Kook actually started dancing because he was so convinced that the Mashiach was coming because of these pioneers, even though they were not religious. And he quoted a Gemara in Me'ilah. Wow. Wow. Only Rav Kook and Adam Karp and Peter Weissman. I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't only Rav Kook, but I don't know. Adam's quoting Mashiach and the Gombap. So I guess, you know, Rav Kook, Adam Karp, Peter Weissman, these are the Gedolim. All right, so now here we go. There is a page 428 from Mundane to Holy. Rav David Nesher related. Again, it's page 428 in An Angel Among Men. Rav Kook was once sitting with his close associates when the conversation turned to the elders of the land. As is well known, many of these builders lived secular lives, and their secularism was all too often visible in the buildings they built. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but I guess it was worse than not having a mezuzah. I don't exactly know what that means. So said the Rav, the Talmud states, in reference to the building of the Holy Temple, the repairmen build with mundane materials, and they sanctify it afterwards. Gemara Me'ila Yedalet Amun Aleph. I.e., when you build the Beis HaMikdash, it doesn't start holy. The people who build it, it's not inherently holy from the outset. They sanctify it only after the construction. The same is true regarding the building of our holy land. It is now being accomplished in a partially secular manner, but it will all be sanctified in the end. Now here, get ready for this. Get ready for this. All of a sudden, the Rav rose from his chair and began dancing with intense fervor and a sacred passion, singing with the words of the Talmud over and over again. Bonim, Bechol, the Acher Kach Machdishim. They build with the mundane and sanctify it afterwards. So if we were like a really, you know, datilu, we would make a niggun with those words. That would be a little bit of a project for our Wednesday Rechabur. Who could come up with the best tune for the words bone and mechol v'achar kach ma'akdishim? A little bit of a homework assignment. Try to build an Israeli-sounding niggun with the Gemara and the Ili Dalin. Ah, but Rav Kook was dancing passionately. What an amazing, amazing story. It's one of my favorite Rav Kook stories. And another one of my favorite Rav Kook stories is something that I heard from a woman giving a tour of Rav Kook's home, which is now a museum, and she was serving on her, women who serve? Sherulumi. She was doing her Sherulumi. And a very fine young woman, you know, just, you know, doing chesed for Eretz Yisrael during her year. And she took us into Rav Kook's dining room. And in Rav Kook's dining room, again, happens to be a picture of the Gura and a picture, I think, of the Bala Tanya to show that he gained both from the Litvish, Mishnagdish world and from the Hasidish world. And then there was also this beautiful, like, rug hanging in his dining room, like an artwork of a rug. And there was a secular artist who made this for Rav Kook as a gift. And this female artist explained that she is a secular woman and she was always rejected by religious rabbis. And Rav Kook was the first rabbi to accept her and she didn't feel judged by him. And as a gift, she made this beautiful rug for him. Again, I don't know what the official term is for like an ornamental rug. That being said, it was hung in his dining room. So really, really beautiful. And again, that's the approach of Rav Kook. So even though we're saying that, by the way, Robert, I apologize. I'm not sure how long you were in the waiting room there. Robert, were you waiting for a long time?
No, I just got on. I stopped looking at my messages. I thought we were off for tonight. And then I saw that. So what I'm catching last, we got 15 more minutes.
We have Torah, Tzion, Umada. We're all in. We just finished our Tzvilach HaGigit, and the shir is still on. We're dealing with high voltage tonight.
Anyway, okay.
But I also was not sure whether or not. So you're a good company. Well, anyway, so even though the Ramban is saying that, you know, the amount of Kedusha is so holy in Israel, the Chizkuni, that, you know, Tzaras only applies there, etc. So the question then becomes, so how does that affect the type of Jew that enters Eretz Yisrael? I'll tell you a wild idea. So again, here's my favorite sefer of Chodesh Iyar. Alo na'ale, alo na'ale. So again, this is the sefer that I quote like every day of Chodesh Iyar. The response of Rav Shlomo Aviner to the Satmar Rebbe. It's a brilliant, brilliant sefer. Very respectful. It's not like out to get the Satmar Rebbe. That being said, they take every line of the Satmar Rebbe's essay and like they respond to it. There's like a chapter per line. And one of the things the Satmar Rebbe said is, Rak Yirei Shemaim Gemurim Mutarim La'alot L'Eretz Yisrael. Wow. So one of the arguments of the Satmar Rebbe is that only people who are on the highest spiritual levels can go to Israel. And again, I think they're going to start Marv here. Adam, you should daven. They're going to start davening Marv here. And needless to say, you can imagine that there are responses to that line. But also, again, to respectfully, approach this concept that, because we already see it in the Parsha, the Ramban, the Chizkuni, and the Satmar Rebbe felt that who are we to go to Israel? It's too holy. And anyways, Misha Olele Eretz V'hulo Shomer Torah Mitzvos Shlemus Halo Mekayim Eretz Es Mitzvos Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. You're not fulfilling the mitzvah of living in Israel if you don't keep the Torah. And this is the fascinating age-old question: is there a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz independent of the mitzvos of Eretz Yisrael, or is it intrinsically linked to the mitzvahs of the land? Wow. So, needless to say, you know, Rav Aviner goes to town over here and, has extensive, extensive responses over here.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
You didn't mention the name of what the Satmar Rebbe wrote, Ala Geula v'Ala Tmura. which is the sefer of the paper of the Satmar Rebbe, right? Ala Geula v'ala Tmura.
That is the sefer of the Satmar Rebbe?
I believe so. And yes, that's his view that, yeah.
It says this sheet is brought down in many of his Sfarim. So clearly, I guess, you know, there's in the Vayal Moshe a little bit, you know, which is Perish HaLator, Hasidus HaLator. Anyway, I mean, needless to say, you know, there's a lot. So again, the way, just to read the summary, that we've never seen this before. I mean, the Satmar Rebbe says it, but Rav Avinir's response is that the Rambam never wrote that. The Shulchan Aruch never wrote that. And he says, if you look at the words of the Yavetz, he disagrees. And the Psukim in the Torah never gave a condition about Mishu Yisrael El Hatam Shal Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Meaning, just put it up to Mark. Here they said they never gave a Tanai the Mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael El Hatam Shal Mitzvahs. Sorry, one second. Here he says Vada Mishim Olal Eretz Yishul Achrais Kefula. Much more Mitzvahs. Meaning it's true that, I mean, it's true that if you move to Israel, you have an added responsibility to keep extra mitzvos. And the Ramban actually writes that in a Rosh Hashanah drush he gave, that the Jews of Israel are held to a higher standard, things like that. But it doesn't mean that the Jews who are not Shomer Torah should not go there. And this is a classical philosophy of Rav Kook, that anyone who's a Jew should go to Eretz Yisrael. And those people who are not yet holy will eventually go there. And he compares it to the chamor of Mashiach, the donkey of Mashiach, and he compares it to the mitzvah. We know that a firstborn donkey is redeemed with Kedusha. And he says, that's the donkey of Mashiach. The non-religious Jews are going to bring the geula. And in the same way that a donkey does not look holy, but the Torah testifies it needs to be redeemed, a firstborn donkey has Kedusha hiding. And that's why the halacha is the only non-kosher animal that needs to be redeemed is a donkey, even though there's no seeming kedusha to it. So to these pioneers, says Rav Kook, that's the donkey of Mashiach. Wow. My hair's that written down. Unbelievable. So they're about to start Shmoneh Esrei. I guess we'll conclude here this evening. But I think the point is clear. We should all be zocha to get to Eretz Yisrael and appreciate the stage of Geula that we're in and appreciate the different Jews that are contributing to this stage of Geula. Have a Yom HaTzimut Sameach. Have a wonderful evening. All the best.